Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus spoke those words on more than one occasion, including in the first part of Mark chapter 7. Our gospel for today comes from the second part, or the latter part of Mark 7. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So Jesus said to the Apostle John in the revelation that he gave to him. In other words, if your ears are working, then hear these words of Jesus, which are the Spirit's words, which convey the Spirit to you, which, if you are hearing them today, God wants you to take seriously, to take to heart, to believe. But what if you don't have hearing ears in the first place? The truth is, hearing ears, a speaking tongue, seeing eyes, those don't necessarily have anything to do with what's going on in your soul. In fact, oftentimes, those who don't have working ears can speak, can hear better than those who have working ears. Those who have tongues that work often don't speak as well as the mute when it comes to the things of God's Spirit. That's what we see in today's gospel, where the Holy Spirit illustrates it for us. In the first part of Mark 7, as I said, Jesus was speaking to people who had working ears, to the Pharisees, but who refused to use their ears to listen to Jesus or to hear his word and believe it, to hear him as the Son of God speaking God's truth to them. Those Pharisees wagged their tongues freely to criticize Jesus, but didn't use their tongues to confess their sin or to confess Jesus as Lord. And so he said to the crowds who were with him that day, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The deaf man who came to Jesus in our gospel didn't have working ears or a working tongue, and yet he had already learned far more of God's truth than most of the people around him with working ears and tongues. He had already learned that he had a great infirmity and that Jesus was the only one who could help him and heal him. That's the very basic lesson of the whole Bible, that all people are miserable sinners before God, but Jesus is the one, the only one, who has come to help, who can and will. He has come to help not by helping you to help yourself, not by helping you to get better, but by healing you in an instant, in forgiving your sins. Jesus did that in today's gospel and gives us a picture again of how, still today, Jesus, through his word, is the one who comes with healing for the infirm, for those with a malady, and forgives sins to all who trust in him. Where does that faith come from, that trusting in him? Faith comes by hearing. The man in our gospel couldn't hear. He could see, though. He could learn things from God in the signs that God gave him, in the very circumcision that God had given his people, and in any number of ways that people who can't hear today still can communicate and understand what's going on. His friends could hear. And what had they heard? The very simple gospel that Jesus is merciful, kind, and good, and helps all who come to him. that same gospel that you hear week after week after week about the goodness of Jesus. They heard that he was good enough to help, that he was merciful to help, and that he could help. And so they demonstrated both faith in Jesus and love toward their friend as they brought him to Jesus and pleaded with Jesus to lay his hands on him, to help him and to heal him. Faith and love, the whole summary of Scripture. And as always, Jesus proved trustworthy and faithful to his reputation. He took the deaf man aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, he spat, he touched the man's tongue, then looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. That's the first and general lesson that we learn in every gospel. The same lesson we learn last week and we'll learn next week: faith and love. Faith in Jesus, who is always trustworthy. Faith so that we don't bring him our works or deeds, so that we don't not go to him because of our many sins. Faith that acknowledges sin but knows Jesus to be merciful towards sinners, to be the Savior. And love that helps our neighbor in his need, that goes out of our way to help him with, especially first, his greatest need of bringing him to where Jesus is, so that Jesus can help with his greatest need. We can also learn some specific lessons from today's gospel in how Jesus performed this miracle of healing the deaf man. First, he took the man aside and dealt with him one-on-one. Jesus wanted this man to know, wanted there to be no doubt in his mind, "You are the sick one, I know that. I am here to help you," as if you were the only man on earth. And Jesus does the same thing today in the ministry of his word, as he sends pastors not just to deal collectively with a congregation, but also to deal individually with each one in private confession and private absolution. And in handing out the Lord's Supper, not in a bunch to everyone who's there today, but as each communicant comes forward and kneels at the rail to hand out the Lord's forgiveness in his body and blood, one by one by one. Then Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears and touched the man's tongue, as if to emphasize, "I know exactly what your infirmity is. I know its cause. I know its cure. Your help comes not from inside of you." He didn't point to the man's heart. He didn't point to the man's hands and say, "Here, that you have to do something to help yourself." His fingers would do the healing. All of it. Jesus spat. One of the few times we hear of Jesus' saliva in the Scriptures. Seems like a strange thing for the God-man to do, spit. Maybe no more strange than for the God-man to be born in a manger, for the God-man to grow up facing all the infirmities of life on earth as a human being. Jesus' humanity, his flesh and blood, his holy incarnation, as we talk about it, how he became flesh and took on our flesh. This is where our salvation is. In Jesus' actual body and blood, in his spit, in the man, in the person who took on our flesh so that he could take on our sins and die our death for us and share his body and blood and his human life with us. He's telling the man, he's telling us, "Your healing won't be magical from out there, from the forces of nature somewhere. It comes from my body, from my mouth alone, from my word alone, from my very body and blood. Jesus, in healing the deaf man, looked up to heaven. That's important, maybe for various reasons. Not only was Jesus declaring or showing that he came down from heaven to heal sick sinners. Not only is he indicating he is the Son of God, but it also signifies heaven matters. God matters. You need more than just healing for your ears or for your tongue. You need more than physical healing, because the fact is, your body's going to die one day anyway, no matter how many times it's healed of a cold, of the flu, of a cancer, of arthritis. Your body will die. What you see on this earth is not going to save you from that, but God will. God matters. Then Jesus sighed. A sigh can be out of frustration. A sigh can be out of relief. Both things fit with this text. You remember how Jesus wept at the graveside of his friend Lazarus. He wept not in despair, as if his friend Lazarus were lost forever. He knew better than that. But out of sadness for the sorrow of his friends, out of frustration that characterizes the loss of everything on this earth. Everything is lost eventually, including our loved ones, including our health, including our wealth, everything, because of sin. That's reason for frustration. But Jesus is also the only one who has come to bring relief from all of the terrible consequences of sin. And he brings relief at just that moment in his word, in his simple Aramaic word, Ephratha, be opened. The word of the Son of God, more powerful than all the pain, all the destruction sinners have brought on ourselves. With a word, Jesus takes away the man's deafness and muteness. With a word spoken from the cross as he was about to die, it is finished. Jesus indicated that the gates of heaven had been opened to sinners through his blood, because he had paid for all sin, because he had done all the righteousness that anyone must do to get to heaven. And now it's by faith in him that heaven is given to us as a gift. With a word, Jesus clothed you with himself in the words that are attached to the waters of baptism. With a word attached to bread and wine, Jesus opens heaven again and again to you as you receive him and his forgiveness. Your ears and your tongue may work just fine, or they may not work as well as they used to. But the deafness and the dumbness that afflict some people in this world is a sign only of the deeper illness that infects all people. It began in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve chose to hear not the word of God, but to hear instead the word of the serpent. From that time on, human ears have never worked right. From that time on, by nature, we stop up our ears to God's truth, to his law and his commandments. And we also stop up our ears to Christ's preaching of repentance and salvation by faith alone, in him alone. Instead, people go searching for someone. Some church, some friend, some expert to tell them what their itching ears want to hear, as Paul puts it to Timothy. By nature, our tongues know very well how to make excuses for our sins and how to tear down other people and build ourselves up. But they don't know at all how to confess our utter unworthiness before God, or how to sing His praises for the free salvation He has won for us in Christ. But here is the powerful word of Jesus again today, calling out to all who exalt themselves to humble themselves in repentance, and calling out to all who are humbled, to all who are troubled and terrified of their sins, to take heart. Because the Savior is here. He hasn't come to destroy sinners, but to help you, to save you, to give you the life that is truly life. He has come to open your ears so that you hear His word and believe it, and keep hearing it, and keep believing it. He came and has come to loose your tongue, to loose it so that you can confess your sins and receive His forgiveness, and then sing His praises and speak His praises to the people in your life as He gives you opportunity to speak of how He rescues from sin, death, and the devil. Through His own body, through His own blood, through His own self given to us in word and sacrament. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand to sing the offertory.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free Spirit.